"We were told, in the night's training," said Leith, "that he was evil, but not much more. No one follows him in Leonia. I didn't pay much mind."
"I thought he came only where there was slavery," said Surya.
"No," said Pox. "His followers may be anywhere. Leart sometimes allies with Akria in large plots. He's hastier, more active. I fear that we have attracted notice in that direction. Leart's followers practice torture as a ceremony. He delights in the fear of those victims. I say this not to frighten you, but to warn. If through some mischance we are separated, and any of you is taken, your only shield is prayer. Do not despair. The High Lord will protect your soul, if only you can keep your mind on him." Their faces were set. None of them asked how she knew. Pox looked at them for a moment. Then she stretched, feeling the return of strength with the morning sun. "In the meantime," she said more cheerfully, "we have a clear day and far to ride. God's grant they miss us after all. It's likely enough. And together, well, they'd have a hard fight. Ride for an hour, companions, then it will be warm enough to stop for a meal." And she legged the red horse into a spurt of speed, the snow flying up in cakes and lumps from his feet. Behind her, she heard the other horses whinny and run. In a few minutes they slowed again, but everyone was in a lighter mood. The horses jogged on, snorting. Pox started humming "Cedars of the Valley," and Surya broke in, singing the words. "Cedars of the valley, oh, fir trees on the hill, where's the lad I used to love, and does he love me still?" The others came in on the chorus. "Cedars of the valley, oh, cedars in the wind." Pox sang the second verse. "Cedars of the valley say, if I wander far, will I see my home again or die in lands afar?" Again the chorus. Garrus went next. "Cedars of the valley sing, tell us all a tale." "That's almost as bad as the low pipe, Garrus," commented Escariel, grinning. "You made me lose my place," said Garrus. He started again, where he'd left off, and finished the verse. "And dressed in shining mail." Pox listened with one ear to the singing, as the song wound on through its many verses. For it had been a marching song a long time, and with the other to whatever set the red horse's left ear twitching sideways. Finally, she held up her hand, and Leith stopped in the middle of a word. Nothing now but the crunching of snow, the jingle of harness and breathing of the animals. They halted. Pox could still hear nothing, but the red horse stared at the woods to their left, as if he could do better. He blew, rattling his breath. Pox felt the tension beneath her. Escariel raised his brows. "I don't know," Pox answered the look. "But with such a horse, I don't ignore the warning either." She drew the elf blade. Its blue flash was a warning in daylight. She heard the scrape of scabbards as the squires drew their own weapons. The red horse snorted. Pox looked around. They were in a wide glade, with a frozen stream to their left and forest beyond it, and on their right. They moved on again more slowly, the pack horses on short reins. If the red horse had not kept watching to the left, Pox might have decided that nothing menaced them, for they rode a good distance without any sign of trouble. Then the forest closed in on their right, and the stream bed plunged into a rocky hollow. Pox slowed, looking for a safe way down through the drifted snow. Ahead and below seemed rougher country, with the tops of boulders showing above piles of snow. She peered into the forest on their right. It was thick here, heavy with undergrowth even in winter, and she could see little